baseball fans, the game is over. Welcome to the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show. Bet above the rest. Only at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, Milwaukee. After the last pitch, you've made the switch for 21 seasons. We'll hear from the manager, the players, and the highlights from the game. It's time to talk about the game and the team with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Did you happen to see that? It's a final in San Diego, and the results are not good. The Brewers fall 3-2 in game one of this three-game series, and game one of this big, why do we keep calling it big?
That's you, not me.
That's true. There's Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Tim Allen, big, a seven-game road trip. Three in San Diego, four in L.A. against the Dodgers. Welcome in, everybody. Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. All right, so they fall 3-2. Logan Henderson deserves so much better.
Yep.
So much better. Is that dude for real or what?
Yes, and considering he doesn't throw 100 miles an hour, he's a rare breed right now.
He is a pitcher. And now, you know, you throw that many changeups, and he's got a wicked one. If you hang him, you know guys are looking for his changeup at times. And that's the scouting report on Logan Henderson. Although he was gassing about 95 tonight. That was impressive. Usually he sits around 92, 93. So 95, that was pretty impressive. Just at one point he had 13 straight batters retired. And then he hung another one to Jackson Merrill. Why is it that the timing of this series against San Diego would be right at the point where the Padres have won 12 of their last 16?
That's okay. Brewers win the next two, and that's the end of that. Not okay. A big deal. I mean, look, you lost the first one against the Twins, didn't you? Came back, won the next two. Fine. So you lose the first one of this series, come back, get the next two. You've got three good pitchers in this series. You got Harrison and May still to come. You knew this was going to be a tough series. I mean, the series that you ought to be concerned about is the Dodgers series, where you're throwing Drouin and Gasser in that series with a hungry Dodgers team looking to turn things around. That series should worry you more than this series. Brewers will figure out a way to win these next two.
And any series should be concerning now when you're not scoring runs. You're getting just enough. There's no wiggle room. You burned out your bullpen over the weekend against the Minnesota Twins. That forced Logan Henderson to get into that seventh inning. They had a fresh bullpen up 2-1 in this game. No chance they're letting Henderson go into that seventh inning. Zero chance. They were going to babysit him just like they're babysitting all the other innings. All the other pitchers. So what does that tell you? Two things. It tells you that you didn't score enough runs, not just this game. You didn't score enough runs over the weekend to relieve that relief corps, because you would have had them against these guys. You know, there's a 2-1 lead in San Diego when you cannot take a chance on the Padres taking the lead late, because you see what happens. This Padre bullpen is lights out.
Yeah, the Brewers bullpen has been pretty lights out too. With Uribe and McGill, yes.
But because you didn't score runs over the weekend meant that you had to play tight ball games. You had to go to Ashby. You had to go to McGill. You had to go to Uribe. You had to use all your guys against the Twins. Now, you're not going to be able to use them every night. I get that. It's just probably bad timing, if nothing else. But the bottom line here is this offense should be better. And why aren't they better? You made changes today. Clearly, Pat Murphy knows his offense is struggling, because he's moving chess pieces all over the place. Now, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I mean, the only consistent thing is Terang and Churio at the top. That's about it. The six and seven hitters, who would have thought this couple months ago, let alone the beginning of the year, that the six hitter would be William Contreras, really? The seven hitter would be Yelly, coming off a, 29 and 102 season last year? Oh, man. Wow. And he's trying to find it. Murphy is. He's trying to find it offensively. I think, again, I said it the other day. It's time for a hitter's meeting. Should have been done already. They're not even coming close to where they should be.
I don't know. I just don't know what that does. I mean, this hitter's meeting that you keep asking for, a player's meeting, what exactly is said in that meeting that all of a sudden spurns change, that all of a sudden Yelich finds a fountain of youth and Contreras remembers how to hit again after 2 months? Like, what magic potion happens in this hitter's meeting that you're asking for?
I don't know. I really don't know. But I know it's been known to work at times. And look at Luis Renjifo. What happened to him? He goes on a tear. I'm just kidding. But this offense, they need to perform better. They know it. Murphy knows it. We all know it. I mean, these are every single night, they're tight ball games. Everyone. What did somebody yesterday tell us? He's biting his fingernails. Or was that the other night? You know, it's just nail biters almost every single game. This offense needs to get it together. Now, I kind of like Bowers in that three spot.
Sure,
I don't mind that.
He's been playing really, really well, obviously, so he deserves to be there.
You see Andrew Vaughn at third base now.
That's not going to last.
It won't.
So be it for the time being.
Yeah, for now. I mean, a lot of people wanted that way early.
I still want it that way. I'd be fine with it leaving it this way, but they're not going to. I mean, he's pretty much said it. From the jump, Murphy is that this is pretty much an emergency situation, and that's why they're playing. They said before the game that Ortiz was available if needed in this game. So he's relatively close. So I would assume you probably see him back in the lineup tomorrow.
Yeah, I would think. And then Vaughn, he's going to play against certain types of right-handed pitchers.
For now.
Certain types.
My guess is by the time we get to the postseason, he'll only play against lefties.
Or he'll play every day.
No chance.
No?
Mm-mm. Talking to Jack Stern earlier today on Mason Crosby's show from BrewersFanatic.com, listening to him talk. Nope, it's not happening.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why, and I've defended Murph on this, at least you could make the argument that the reason why Vaughn's numbers are what they are is because of how Pat Murphy uses him.
But then, by all means, they should have traded him at the deadline and seen what they could get for him at that point. Or because trade him this offseason. He's got a year left, so trade him this offseason then.
Yeah, if he's a platoon player, then, you know, maybe they like platoon players. Doesn't it seem like they like him?
I don't. I can't stand him. I hate him. I hate it with a passion. I'd rather have just my normal, you know, eight guys out there with my DH, whoever that is. You can rotate the DH. I don't care about that position. But if I could just have my standard eight out there like they used to have with Fielder, Weeks, Hart, Hardy, Braun. You knew where everybody was. You knew what the lineup was almost every day. And you just go and you play, and everybody knows their role. This thing here, just screwing around constantly with it. And I'm not mad that Pat Murphy moved Contreras down with Yelich. He deserves to be moved down. He's been under 200 for a month and a half. Like, I totally agree with that move. Again, how do you get them going? I don't know. I think it's just a hope and a prayer and hope they figure it out at some point.
Yeah, he said it's not necessarily about motivating them. And he's pretty solid in that they will come back and perform. That was, you know, I'm paraphrasing from Murphy.
But that's like what you say. Just do what the back of your baseball card says. That's what he's waiting on right now.
That's right. But to get he's starting to lose his patience a little bit because the proof is right there in front of you. It moved him to 6-7. Contreras and Yelich.
Yep.
You know he's losing some patience here. He's been one that has known to react to some players underperforming or making mistakes, and there's some accountability here. So he has to do that at some point. Now, if this doesn't work, well, then he went on to say that other guys are going to have to step it up then if this doesn't work. Well, there's nothing else you can do?
You cannot, and you will not win a World Series if those two guys aren't hitting. There's absolutely no chance that's happening. If you go into the postseason and these dudes both hit sub 200 in the postseason, you are going home. I'm not sure which round, but you are not winning a World Series if these two guys can't hit.
God, these pitchers are working their tails off, and it wouldn't take much of an offense. It really wouldn't. Why now? Now, could this be, again, we go back to that trade deadline. Could this be one of the factors? Matt Arnold's never going to admit it. But could this be one of the factors in why they didn't make the splash value deals, plural? Number one, their offense is underperforming. Clearly it is. And you can show me some metrics that says, well, look at the run scored, look at this, and look at that. And yeah, that's fine. We watch the games. We see him putting up 3 and 4 runs just across the board. Now, can you win games like that? Sure. Because of your pitching. You can. But you're burning pitchers in that bullpen. And then on a game like tonight, you will pay the price on that. And they did. Well, could that be one of the factors in why they didn't make splashy moves, plural, is that the offense is underperforming and they're beat up by injuries? This may not have been the year to do so. I don't know what they were thinking.
Well, if it was about keeping Logan Henderson to pair him with Mizorowski and Harrison going forward, maybe that was the reason that deal gets done. We don't know. But regardless, if that's what it is, fine. And then from the hitting perspective, if he just looks at his farm system and goes, look, this next wave of hitters is better than what I've got, and I don't want to break that core up. I want to pair these guys coming at AA with these three in the front of my rotation, and then let's go because I've got power coming, which is what we're lacking. Mm-hmm. Tonight was a perfect example of what a playoff game would look like, where literally everything came on home runs, low-scoring game. This is what the fear is when you get into the postseason against, say, a Dodgers team where you're not going to get a lot, but one swing changes everything. Jackson Merrill changed everything. Yeah. To that point, Henderson had it all under control. Everything was fine. And just like that, in a blink of an eye, boom, you're losing, and then you go on to lose the game. That is what the Brewers missed last year and very well might be what they missed this year when they get to the postseason. And what is Matt Arnold looking at? Well, he's looking at Blake Burke, who just got promoted to AAA. He's looking at Fisher, who continues to mash for the Timber Rattlers down there. He sees power coming. And he's just trying to get to that point to put these three frontline pitchers. And that doesn't even include Priester potentially coming back and being Quinn Priester again. If he comes back and is Quinn Priester again, now you've got a front four that is really, really good at that point.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how good a Coleman Crowe is.
No, he's not
truly.
That guy. He's not that guy.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it that he's in the mix in the next few years. But I see what you're saying. But really, right now, there's two main issues for a team that has the best record in baseball. Doesn't seem like it. Really doesn't seem like it that they have the best record in baseball.
No, from our perspective. From everybody else's perspective, it's like, damn, look at that Brewers team again just doing their thing.
Yeah.
Because we're too close to it. That's part of it.
It is part of it. But what we see, the worst possible moment. This is like a playoff game. This was. Yeah, tonight's game. A 3-2 loss. Worst possible moment to give up that two-run home run. I would far prefer that two-run home run by Henderson had been given up in the third or the fourth. Because at that point, you're in the done club for this game.
Yep.
At that point. Against that San Diego Padre back half. They've got three guys in the back. Not just these two, Morhan and Miller, but there's another dude back there, too. You need to have the lead. You give up the lead in the seventh inning, it's disaster, and you saw it tonight. I had no hope for this team once Merrill hit the homer.
Yeah,
the game was over. That might as well have been a walk-off, and we'll just, it's a final from San Diego. I just wanted to go on at that point.
I thought Yelich was going to win it there at the end when he was up. And you were like, send Lockridge. And sure enough, you said send Lockridge. And from your mouth to Pat Murphy's ears, next pitch, boom, there goes Lockridge. Yep. Gunned down, not even close at second. And Yelich goes, cool, no faith in me. All right, I'll go back to the clubhouse now. And that was it.
You had to do it because raise your hand if you were confident on Christian Yelich in the ninth inning against Mason Miller.
In order to get out of this massive whatever it is that he's in, he's going to have a moment like that to try and get some momentum going forward. That would have been a two home run night, and you did it against the best closer in baseball in California, where he's from. Like, it was all lining up to go have that moment right now. And if anybody's going to get hot on this trip, if Yelich gets hot on this trip, then this trip is all worth it, regardless of win-loss. If he gets finally going on this trip, then regardless of wins and losses, this is all worth it.
He hit a two-run homer in the second inning tonight.
He did?
He's already hot on this trip.
I guess so.
For what he's been doing, that's a big-time swing for him. That was opposite field. That was a beautiful home run. And that lead stood. Now, again, Ty France hit a home run in the bottom of the second inning. So it wasn't a shutdown frame there, but that 2-1 stood. You had a leadoff double allowed by Logan Henderson. And then he worked, they bunted the runner over, and you're thinking, well, they're probably going to get it tied. Had a rocket hit right to David Hamilton in that second inning, looks the runner back, gets the out, then strikes out the man. So after the leadoff double in the third, it was a 2-1 Brewers win, or lead, and he sets down three there after the double, then sets down three straight in the fourth, three straight in the fifth, three straight in the sixth inning, got the first man out in the seventh, and then a base hit, home run, and a walk. I mean, you talk about hitting the wall. That's what it was, base hit, home run, walk. I'll contend that a fresh bullpen, they're good with Logan Henderson, six innings of one-run ball on three hits. That's where he would have been. But instead, you're forced to kind of stretch him a little bit. What did he end up with pitch count?
He ended 90? Up with
91?
Let's see here. Hold on. He ended up with 91 pitches, 91. 62 of them for strikes. ERA now 2.88.
Just outstanding.
Yeah, first pitch strikes, 16 first pitch strikes to 24 batters.
Even now, what a great performance.
Sure.
6 1/3, a three-run ball.
Mm-hmm.
See the difference between Logan Henderson and Miz yesterday? It was great. I just said great performance, 6 1/3, three runs.
Two different expectations, though.
That's right. That's right. Measuring scales is much different. But that is a brilliant performance from Logan Henderson at their place in a team that's hot. Let's not forget the Padres have won 12 of their last, 13 of 17 now. But 6 1/3 of three-run ball, you kind of got to win that game, Brewers. You kind of got to win that game.
We got to get to some calls. We got to get to a break, and then we'll get to the calls and some angry text messages towards you, Tim Allen, that I will read on the air. People are not happy with you.
Oh, no.
People saying wrong for the first time. What are you talking about? People are mad at you right now. Mad. Mad, I tell you.
Who's wrong, though? I'm wrong.
You're wrong for the first time, according to one person. Others just...
For the first time,
Tim is wrong.
I'll take that.
But, yeah, that's one of them. The other one's not so nice. But, yeah, so we'll get to those.
All right. Nicolay Law, talking text line, 414-677-1250.
We got a guy at Petco Park, Bryce, who is there.
Nice.
I want to hear from Bryce, too, after this comment.
Okay. The Brewers' offense, scuffling. I know someone's going to point to some metrics and say, run differential.
Number one in baseball.
Have you watched these Brewers games?
We just speak facts. We just speak facts.
It's 4-3, 3-2, 4-3. Oh, wow, you got a nice win, 5-2. This pitching is why their record is what they're at.
Yeah,
it's not the offense, I can tell you that.
That's part of run differential. You're not giving up that many runs, and you're scoring more than them.
But we're specifically talking about the offense.
Yeah, I understand.
And they're underachieving, without question.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
Not wrong on that, are you?
No, you're not wrong. No, you're right on that.
Okay. All right. Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show as the Brewers fall in game one of this three-game series in San Diego. Tim Allen, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer. Don't care what time it is, we're talking Brewers baseball. Stick around.
Fly ball left field. It's back. It's still back and gone for Yelich. Feeling the Southern California weather, and Yelich goes deep for the eighth time this year.
That would be all the offense the Brewers would end up with as the Brewers lose this one 3-2 in San Diego. Putrid showing by this offense outside of Yelich there, Tim Allen.
Yeah, no, I mean, these games are going to happen. You could cite this. You could point at this game and say, well, this is one of those games. This is like losing 11-1 or winning 10-2 or something. You know, that's going to happen sometimes. This is too frequent. You're burning that bullpen because of this offense. The offense is going to, if anything keeps you from a World Series, it'll be this offense.
Could be, like it was last year.
It was last year, and the pitching was fine. The pitching is great this year. It is way beyond what I would have ever thought the pitching to be. And you're constantly, you're getting beat on just splitting hairs kind of plays. It's fun baseball if you come out on the winning side of it. All right, Nicolay Law talking text line at 414-677-1250. Those of you watching, did you see this?
What? Oh, you got the dice cup.
I do.
Oh, yes.
Look at this. It's a beautiful thing. Now, I'm going to, while we bring in our first caller here.
Yeah.
First, we go to the text line and see where I'm wrong, if you want.
No, let's go to Bryce at Petco Park first. Okay, then we'll check in. What's up, Bryce? You're next on the Nicolay Law talking text line.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, I'm outside Petco Park right now. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love you, Tim. Love the show.
Thanks,
from Green
Bryce.
Bay, but we flew out here yesterday to check out the series. I'll be here Tuesday and Wednesday as well.
Nice.
It's a beautiful park, man. Nothing beats Milwaukee, but, man, this is amazing.
Nice. Nice. You live out there?
No, he's from Green Bay. He said he flew out for the series.
From Green Bay, yeah.
Oh, just for this series?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Sir. Go, Pat, go.
So what do you do for the sightseeing in San Diego, then?
We took a trolley tour around the city. We went to the Coronado Island, I believe it's called. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. It's a super beautiful town. I sat next to a couple Brewers fans tonight, and it was awesome. One guy said, he's like, yeah, I've been living out here for 35 years. It's paradise out here, man. And I'm like, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. What is it? Old Town? There's Old Town there. There's,
San Diego Zoo's really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, we're going there tomorrow.
All right, nice. Nice. All right, well, have a great time, Bryce, and get him a win tomorrow.
Found up here, Boone Machado. Hey, never forget, man. Jesus Aguilar, never forget.
That's correct. Never forget.
That was just a dirty player at that time. Now he's probably not as dirty
these days.
But at that time, that was a dirty play from a dirty player, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, he was like laying on the infield dirt tonight. And we're like, why is he doing that, man? He's just a lazy, dirty player. But
all right, Bryce. See you later, buddy.
Take it easy.
There's Bryce checking it. Yeah, I wouldn't trust Machado. Regardless if it's 5 years ago or however long ago that was versus now. No, I don't trust Manny Machado. Sorry. No can do.
He's not getting any big swings lately.
Way to go.
The Brewers.
If it happens tomorrow, I'm blaming you. Way to go.
I think he's 2-for-14.
Just stop talking about
this
it, please.
Year.
Just stop talking about it.
They've penned him down pretty good.
Let's see here. From the 608, I get it. They needed runs. But stealing in the ninth, Tim
yes.
is wrong for the first time.
No.
Stealing? No.
Yeah, no, you had to there. That's Mason Miller. Are you guys aware of who Mason Miller is?
Mm-hmm. He throws like 100 miles an hour, and you sent the runner.
Yeah, yes. You take a shot with a...
With two outs.
That's when you do it.
You need a swing to win this thing.
You need a base hit to win this thing if he's safe.
I said to win it. I didn't say to tie it. I said to win it.
Nah.
You needed a swing. But that's okay. Well, let's move on. To the 414. Had to do it? ? In capital letters.
You had to do it.
Used to respect your opinion. Mason Miller lost the zone. Why the hell are you running? Stealing there is so dumb. From the 414.
I don't think so.
I told you, he was not spotting that fastball. He lost it on the fastball.
It comes down to, I know Yelly homered earlier in the game. But that was off Mize. That wasn't off Miller. And did you trust Christian Yelich? You guys trusted Christian Yelich in that situation.
I think he either is going to hit a home run or maybe he draws a walk and you move on to the next guy.
I had no faith in him.
I know you didn't.
I had zero faith in him in that at bat. Now, I had faith in him to maybe grab a little broken bat, little flare over the second baseman's head. I had faith in him to roll over on a 43. That or a little duffer right to Mason or a strikeout. That's where my faith has been with that dude. Do I think he's going to come around at some point? I do. I think there's some treading water going on with this team. It might not be the most horrible thing in the world. Think about it this way. They're just so good in terms of wins and losses that really their season is September in the postseason. That would be a good thing, wouldn't it?
Sure.
So, but right now, we're living in the moment here. I don't know of too many people that would have trusted Christian in that situation.
All right.
Against that dude.
Back to the talk of text line. Yankee John says, Tim, Yelich had the same chance of winning the game with or without a steal. Out by 5 feet. Pathetic. That's from Yankee John.
Well, he didn't get a good jump on him. That's for sure.
All right. Let's see. Back to the phones we go. Nicolay Law, talk and text line. Let's go to Tim in Caledonia. You're next here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show on a Brewers 3-2 loss.
Tim, do you still want to be my cousin or not, man?
Why?
Because I'm going to disown you for being so doggone.
Only because he was thrown out.
What do you mean? No,
he was thrown out. Hey. That's why you guys aren't liking it. It doesn't mean the intent. What did Murphy mention anything about it?
Did who?
Did Murphy mention anything about
it? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm here with you. I don't know if Murphy talked about it.
I'll scroll through the social media.
I can look. Go ahead, Tim.
Anyways, Sparky, you were so spot on when you said that. I was like, the light bulbs were flashing.
Said what?
You know? When you said the stars were aligning, you know, for maybe Yelich to break out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they were. And then you have Lockridge steal and get caught by like 80 feet. I think he was in the dugout when he got caught. He went the other way. Come on, dude. Are you serious? I mean, it's to win the game. Okay, if there was one out, I'd say okay. But not two outs, okay, to end the game. No, never. That's a never.
That's
never,
when you steal never. In the ninth inning.
All right, Tim.
You
thanks.
Have two outs.
No. Hey, wait. But you know, can I say one more thing? Yeah. I want to be one more thing, Johnny. Right. Now, because I waited for a little while. Hey, Yelich and Contreras, you got to keep them separated, man. You got to keep them separated.
That's a great Offspring song. I got that on my playlist. Thanks for the call. I don't know about keeping them separated one way or another. I don't think I have a strong view of whether or not I want them split in the lineup to that degree. Like, if you know you have Cooper Pratt back, does Cooper Pratt go in between them? Do you have Vaughn in between them later down in the lineup? So then Contreras comes up to five, Vaughn is six, then Yelich seven.
That,
I don't know.
That I agree with. I don't believe Contreras should be at six. I didn't like the move.
If you if you think Yelich deserves to go down, there's no defending Contreras.
Well, who's got a better future?
Oh, here we go. What does that mean?
Who's got the better future? I mean, again, Yelich, I believe, will come out of it. But right now, you can't trust him right now. You can't trust him for any sort of slug, and then he hits home run in the second inning. Yeah, he found one. Okay, and I loved it. And I was super happy for Yelly. Saying, look at this, in the seventh inning, you get a walk. six and seven, or in the seventh spot, 6 and 7 hitters got that done in the second inning.
They were the only offense you had.
Walk from Contreras, 2-run shot, boom, was super happy. In this situation in the ninth,
William Contreras, in the month of July, hit 186, 245 on base, 291 slugging percentage. In August, 161 average, worse. 235 on base, and a 290 slug. And you're saying he shouldn't be moved down? Why not? I mean, if you're going to penalize Yelich, then penalize Contreras too.
Because I think the chance of Contreras coming out of it is far more than Yelich.
Well, we'll find out, I guess. We'll see. Brian in Valders, you're next on the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show with the franchise, Tim Allen. What's up, Brian?
Well, guys, I got a few things here. You know, I don't have a problem with Lockridge stealing if he's going to get a jump. But when you don't get a jump, you go back. Yeah. I just don't understand
jump.
That.
Bad jump.
Yeah, you got a bad jump. But, you know, it's like, come on, you're in pro ball. You should know that if I don't get a good jump, I'm not going to risk it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, so I didn't have a problem with him stealing, but for him going when you don't get a jump, that was number one problem.
It is, by the way, Brian, you know, tell some folks, it is pretty common to steal in the ninth inning down a run with two outs and a man on first base. That's quite common in baseball, lore, in baseball history, and it will continue to be kind of the call there oftentimes.
Yeah, and I've you see that more so than not. But the other thing I have is that, you know, we're getting on Contreras and Yelich, and rightly so. But you got a Garrett Mitchell that's hitting. I don't know what he's hitting in July and August. That's a stat I love to see.
Garrett Mitchell, sure, we can call that up. Yeah. He also has not been playing well.
He is what, 2 for his last 20 something.
Garrett Mitchell, let's see here, in July, Garrett Mitchell hit well, 315, 390 on base, 506 slugging. In the month of August, he is hitting 103, 278 on base, 138 slug. This month, before tonight's game, he was 3 for 29, with one extra base hit, a double.
Exactly. Exactly, guys. And, you know, Sparky, you hit it well. You said it perfectly early on when you said, we're not going to win a World Series if Contreras and Yelich don't hit. And that is exactly right. Even though your pitching has been so good, if the hitters don't pick it up, early in the year, April and May and June, our hitters were one of the best offenses in the league. Mm-hmm. But July and August, we have just been pathetic, and that's why we're talking about this. But look at the Padres lineup. Heck, they have two guys that I would take. The rest of them are all hitting below 240.
Yeah, I mean, Machado, you know, 210, Cronenworth, 217, Renjifo, 238, Gavin Sheets, 213, Fermin, 197.
Merrill is starting to get it together.
Well, Merrill is up to 244, but he's been unconscious. I mean, he has been a completely different hitter this month. He's hitting 361 in August, 395 on base, 694 slug. That was before tonight's home run.
Yeah.
And my last point, guys, is listen. We don't want to be playing our best ball on August 11th. We want to be playing our ball on September 11th, getting ready for the playoffs. So I have to believe this offense is going to come around, but it's hard to watch. It really is hard to watch when you have an outing like Henderson tonight and you don't do anything.
Remember, 14-game winning streak last year in August. What good did it do us in the playoffs?
Yeah, true.
Exactly.
It didn't. Thanks for the call, Brian. Take care. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows this offense is scuffling, right?
Yeah.
The best thing about this is, though, Murph talked about it yesterday, a team win. You know, they never should have won that game yesterday. You realize that, right? They made way too many mistakes. But, man, they somehow, some way, find a way to get it done. And they're finding a way to be the best, to have the best record in baseball. I don't know if that equates to being the best team in baseball.
What does that mean now?
Well, I mean, I think it means you're the best team. But there's others that would say, You know, just because you have the best record doesn't mean you're the best team.
Who are those people?
Do you think the Dodgers are a better team than the Milwaukee Brewers?
Nope, not right now. The Dodgers aren't fully healthy. They don't have everybody. When the Dodgers get everybody and they get on their run, then we'll revisit that conversation. But right now, when you're missing pitching, Tani's playing with a bum knee and everything else going on, no, they're not at full strength. So, no, right now they are not a better team than the Milwaukee Brewers. So right now they are the best team in baseball, I think.
They have the best record in baseball.
Period. Yeah, I'd take them over the Braves, and we're going to see the Braves next week. So you're going to find out. I mean, those of you that are questioning whether or not or how good this team is, I guess we'll find out. I mean, if they go lose 3 out of 4 to the Dodgers, then those of you that say they're not the best team will be right, I guess. If they go get lose 2 out of 3 to the Braves, you'll be right again. And then this all will be for naught. It doesn't mean anything at all because this is the regular season. And as long as you beat the Braves and Dodgers in the postseason, if you see them, nobody cares. The Dodgers got owned by the Brewers last year in the regular season. It meant not a damn thing come the postseason.
Nope, didn't mean a thing.
Not a thing.
So that's why these changes here that Murphy's making, I think he's, I don't think it's a holding people accountable necessarily. But when he said it wasn't a motivating tool, well, then what? It's best for the team. Isn't it to motivate them to get going? Or isn't it?
No idea. I don't know the psyche of dealing with a professional athlete making millions of dollars. I don't know.
It's got to be a blow to their egos. It has to be moving down in the lineup. It just has to be.
But how can they argue it?
They can't.
No.
No, they can't. They'll heat up. It's just right now you got to kick and scratch and scrape offensively for everything you're getting right now. Jackson, the good news, Jackson Churio, definitely coming out of it. Bryce Terang, yes. Jake Bowers, been the best hitter on the team and the most consistent all year long. Andrew Vaughn, I still think there's a big ceiling there for him. But all right, we'll take a break. Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show if you want to join the conversation. 414-677-1250 on that Nicolay Law Talk and text line. I guess the question would be, to steal or not to steal in the ninth inning? I liked it. Stevie didn't like it. But we'll talk more after the break. We'll hear from Pat Murphy. Still a ways to go here. We're talking Brewers baseball after the Padres beat the Brewers 3-2. Lockridge was caught stealing to end the ball game tonight in the ninth inning. Some do not like that. Just play it out. We're talking about it. Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Tim Allen, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. A Brewers 3-2 loss in game one of this three-game series out west. Now, does this change the dynamic of this series? We talked about it over the weekend. You want 4-3, you want 5-2, 3-4, you happy with that? Ooh, yeah, losing the first game in the series and the first game of the road trip, not the best case scenario here. Now you're going to have to dig out a little bit. Tomorrow's game is a heightened importance then.
Oh, yeah, man.
Wouldn't you think?
Dude, they're playing Walker Buehler. They're going to throw up 5 or 6 runs tomorrow, win that game. And then you'll play for the rubber match with May on Wednesday, potentially win that game, and then it's 2 out of 3, and you just look to split against the Dodgers, and you come home.
And 4-3.
Right. Bum. Problem solved. No need to stress. No need to, you know, add more gray hairs to your head. We just move on.
All right. 414-677-1250, Nicolay Law Talk and text line. Let's go to KJ. KJ, what do you say?
Tim. Sparky, thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
Sure.
The best laid plans by mice and men often go awry. Mm-hmm. In this ball game, I thought that was not a good move. You have Lockridge coming off a knee injury, been out 2 months, okay? And you're running him in that situation. Didn't like it. Didn't get a good enough jump for him to even try and make that attempt. You took the bat out of the guy's hand, even if it's Yelich, who hit a home run, by the way, in that situation, game over.
What would you say are the chances of Yelich hitting us a double, triple, or a home run in that situation?
I don't know. But you won't know either. Neither one of us will know, Tim.
Well, what I do know is
you didn't give him the opportunity.
What I do know is that a single is far superior of an opportunity than a double, triple, or a homer for Christian Yelich right now in any situation.
So
you want to maximize the base hit.
You never got the shot of doing that, Tim.
But you want to maximize the base hit. Even if he did get a base hit, it wasn't going to score a run.
Okay, so you go on to the next guy. But at least you give the opportunity not to lose the ball game or end the ball game on a caught stealing at second.
Do you believe
with a guy that just came off injury, as I mentioned earlier.
Do you believe in ever doing that in any situation?
Of course.
Because it is quite common, KJ, in baseball,
to steal with
two outs in the ninth.
It is common, yes, in the right situation. I don't think that was the right situation.
Okay, gotcha. I would rather believe in it. Just all right.
Well, yeah, of course. We've seen it. We know that, it's something that they do in certain situations. My other situation I thought was not good was I thought that Murphy left Henderson in a little bit too long. You could see that in the dugout that one of the coaches went up to Murphy before Cronenworth got up there. When the guy hit a screamer and got on base before him, right? And then Murphy let it ride. You know, first of all, they didn't have anybody warming up, which I thought was kind of strange. And then he let it ride in the Cronenworth, and I thought that was not the right move because Henderson's His velocity was down two or three ticks, and that was enough for him to catch up with that, whatever it was, fastball, splitter, or I don't know, and put it over the center field fence. So that was the situation. You let that ride, you know, okay. So, those are two situations, and that could be the difference in the ballgame, and it was.
All right, thanks for the call. I appreciate you, KJ. Take care. I had no problem.
The ball game is two runs on the board. That's the problem.
Sure, but I had no problem with putting him back out there. He was only at like 70 pitches or something like that. He was barely anywhere close to having to become out of the ball game. And at that point, you're just like, well, keep rolling, dude. I'm not going to pull you out. What did he set down? 13 in a row, whatever it was. Just keep going. Let's see what happens.
You know who made him go out there for the seventh? The Minnesota Twins did. That's who made him go out there. I can promise you, you got a 2-1 lead heading into the seventh inning in San Diego against the Padres, and you're kicking off a 7-game road trip out there. It's going to be your three guys in the back end to nail that thing down and get the win. You're right there. I don't care if Henderson had 50 pitches. It was going to be, you know how Murph works. If he's got the eye on the prize at the end there, bloop, out you go. You're not going back out there for the seventh. I got this covered. Bullpen has this covered. This was set up by these nail biters over the weekend against the Twins.
That was part of it, I'm sure.
It is part of it,
yeah,
yes.
For sure.
Absolutely. That went into the decision there, and I'm sure Murphy's going to talk about that. But Henderson had been so good, and by the way, it was a hung change. Both home runs. And that's just simply going to happen with Henderson.
Yes.
It's simply going to happen. His changeup is outstanding. It's second to Devin Williams. It really is. It's really a great changeup. But you hang a changeup when a team is well aware that's your best pitch. It's the easiest one to adjust to. The easier pitch to adjust to, it's second to the fastball, dead red, is the hung changeup. It's almost like a curveball that frisbees. It's just sitting there on a tee for you. And it was unfortunate timing right there. So you hung a change to tie France in the second. You hung a change to Merrill in the seventh. That was the difference. Really, was it the difference? Henderson pitched great.
He did.
He six and a third, a three-run ball. Hey, we saw Lyon Richardson.
Not a fan.
How about that?
First of all, he had a sucker or something in his mouth in the bullpen while he was warming up, didn't take it out. Then he comes out there. They called it a toothpick. I'm pretty sure that was just the stick from the sucker, but whatever. So then he doesn't take it out. So then they got to tell him to take the damn thing out of his mouth.
Yep.
His jersey is unbuttoned like four buttons down to like his navel damn near.
Number 48.
Out there flopping away, showing off his chest. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I hope he pitches well. I do. But first impression, I'm not a fan. We'll see.
Mike Caldwell, number 48.
Mike Caldwell, yeah.
You got any other 48s in mind?
No.
I only have
Bill Caldwell. Wegman? Was Wegman 48?
46.
46. Ah, that's close.
So was Jerry Augustine, 46. Huh. We'll talk more. We're going to hear from Pat Murphy, aren't we? I think so.
Yeah, next hour we're going to join the network here coming up next. Because the network hasn't heard from us yet.
Yeah, we'll bring in the Wisconsin Sports Network.
Then they can yell at you. Here.
Yeah, and they can say, Lockridge shouldn't have ran. In that ninth
Francisco
inning.
Cordero wore 48. Colin Ray wore 48.
Ray, yes, he did. Yep. All right, we'll take a break. Potawatomi Sportsbook post-game show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios after a Brewers 3-2 loss.
Hey, baseball fans, the game is over. Welcome to the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show. Bet above the rest. Only at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, Milwaukee. After the last pitch, you've made the switch for 21 seasons. We'll hear from the manager, the players, and the highlights from the game. It's time to talk about the game and the team with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
It is a final from San Diego, and those results are not good. A Brewers 3-2 loss in the first game of this three-game series, first game of this seven-game road trip. Welcome in, everybody. We welcome in our network stations here. It's the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Tim and Sparky, and a 3-2 loss in which I know we've been discussing this for the better portion of an hour already. On the station in Milwaukee. So, yeah, Lockridge stealing second base. That was a big topic of conversation. If you guys want to jump in, would you have done that late in the game? I would have. I had no problems with it. You can join us and join in on the conversation on the Nicolet Law Talk and text line at 414-677-1250. You don't feel like calling. You're just laying around. It's midnight. You can just drop us a text message on that same number. 414-677-1250.
Or you can simply watch the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show on the Growth Law video stream on X and on YouTube or on the Fan Milwaukee Facebook page at WI Sports Radio on X and YouTube. Like and subscribe while you're there, please. Injured Growth gets it, and the Dugout YouTube chat has been a popping tonight. We haven't read any of those yet. Still a bunch of text messages to get to as well.
The Brewers couldn't muster up much offense. They did get a two-run home run from Christian Yelich in the news today that not only Yelly moved down in the lineup, but William Contreras moved down in the lineup. They were your six and seven hitters in this lineup today. Not necessarily to motivate, says Pat Murphy, but I think the time to do it is now, is to tinker a little bit. I do believe, like Murphy, that these guys will hit by the end of the season. I do believe that. So it's, you know, one of those things that I don't think it's necessarily a disciplinary thing. It's just doing what you got to do. The way Murph put it, it's best for the team right now.
Yeah, the problem is a lot of these guys stink all at the same time. I mean, Lahr is hitting like .153 in the month of August. Yeah. Mitchell's been horrible in the month of August. There just aren't many guys that are playing well outside of Jake Bowers this month. Churio seems to have figured it out. Three hits tonight. He seems to have figured out here in the last few days and starting to go back in the right direction
last
again.
Last week or so. Yeah.
So that's good. But there just aren't that many guys. And that's a positive from a Brewers fan standpoint because, man, you have a comfortable lead in the division. You have a fairly comfortable lead for best record in baseball. And your team offensively has stunk in the month of August to this point, and you're still sitting out in front.
It's just this pitching's been amazing. Logan Henderson today, 6 1/3 of 3-run ball. And he pitched great. He was dynamite. And they got him in that 7th inning. I mean, he gave up a solo home run in the 2nd inning. And then it was a base hit and a 2-run home run in the 7th, and you had to go get him at that point. But a really, really good outing from Logan Henderson. And the reason you had other guys in there, they did their job too. Lyon Richardson did a nice job. But the problem was you scored 2 runs in this game. That Yelly home run might turn out to be big. You start barreling balls the other way. The next thing to watch for with Christian Yelich as he breaks out of this thing, because I believe he will, is drawing walks. Have you seen him draw a bunch of walks yet in bunches?
No.
No, we haven't. And once you do, that's the telltale sign that he's coming out of it. But going the other way and barreled up a baseball over the wall, that was a huge, huge thing for Christian Yelich. And maybe this moving him down is going to turn out good. It wouldn't surprise me if Murphy just says, you know what, that ain't working. That's not working either. I'm just going to reassemble it all. Contreras, you're the 3-hitter. It's you know, it's going to go Churio, Terang, Contreras, Yelich, and that's that. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. But they will get going. Nicolay Law talking text line 414-677-1250. Chase, out west, where you at, Chase?
How you doing, buddy? I'm at home here in California. Nice. I did not go to the game, so I can't say I was there or anything. However, I will be going to the Dodger game on Sunday, so I think I'll be seeing Henderson again versus Skubal is what I think, Sparky. I think it's what you were saying earlier today.
Yeah, I believe so. Skubal tonight against the Royals, 5 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, all earned, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. He gave up a home run to Caglianone of the Royals. The Dodgers did win 6-5.
Okay, that's unfortunate about the Dodgers winning, but hey, so far I think our boys edging out Skubal since they've been traded. Hey,
yeah, Henderson's pitching well for sure.
He really is dynamite. What does that make? 15 starts? What, 3 or fewer?
Yeah, 15 of 3. I think only 2 times it's been 3 or more. And it's been only 3. The other thing is the team is 13-3 in its starts.
Amazing. Guy's a stud, man. And I know we wanted to go all in, you know, and Skubal, but man, we're going to have him for so many years at affordable rates. I think they made the right decision with keeping him. But anyways, okay, whatever. So, Yelich, I think Murph was thinking, you know what? He is getting a little bit warmer, I guess. I don't want to say hot, but warmer. He's more likely to hit a base hit, right, than a home run. So that's I kind of agree with being aggressive in that moment. Whenever something doesn't work, he always Monday morning quarterback it, right? That's the way things go. But I probably would have done the same thing, honestly.
All right. Yeah, Thanks for the call, Chase.
Yeah, thank you, Chase. Stevie can attest to this. I mean, I called for it on the pitch that he was thrown out on.
Literally. They should send Lockridge. Next pitch, thrown out at second. Next, very next pitch.
To end the game.
Very next pitch. Yeah, very next.
That's good.
Porch Guy in Bayview on the Nicolay Law Talking text line says, this is a great team realizing they are vulnerable. They're in a slump. Truly great teams figure this out and step up. So let's get this slump out of the way. Okay. Get on point for the playoffs. Figure it out now. That's Porch Guy in Bayview. Steal second. Play the game with guts. Just do it.
Nice. That might be the best text we've received tonight.
Not a surprise that you would think that. Not a surprise at all. From the 715, for what it's worth, I was also calling for the steal there. Contreras and Yelich not worth blaming tonight, as that was our 2 runs scored.
Yeah, no, they did their job in that second inning, a walk and a two-run bomb. I mean, but could it have happened again? A walk and a two-run bomb?
Sure, it absolutely could have. And like we were talking about before, this is like a playoff game where you don't get a lot of guys in scoring position, and a swing can change it. The Brewers had three guys in scoring position, were 0-for-3. The Padres were 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. There just wasn't a lot of guys in scoring position for either team tonight. No. And that's where the long ball comes into play.
And here's an example. I don't know how quickly you can grab this. Did you see what the Dodgers' offense was over the weekend against the Arizona Diamondbacks?
As far as runs scored goes?
Just what were they in the box score? The box score, 0-for-11, 1-for-10. It was a 1-for-12.
Oh, with runners in scoring position?
No, just overall. It was, and I've got it in another room. I can get it during the break. But it was quite telling that an offense can shut off. And that's what Contreras said after the game tonight, that it's just you got to keep going. You know, essentially it was his version of Christian's that's just baseball conversation.
Yep.
That this stuff is going to happen. You just keep moving on. It appeared he had a positive outlook. But if you look at what the Dodgers did, I think it may surprise you guys. You look at that.
Just runs scored wise. I mean, if we just look at it from that perspective for the Dodgers in that series against the D-backs, they lost 4-3, they won 2-1 and 10, and they lost 4-2.
Yeah, and they not a lot of hits in that series overall.
Let's see.
Now, Tucker had a series. There was two Dodgers. I was looking at the box scores. The two Dodgers that had a decent showing, but the rest of them, man, they were oof.
Let's see. First game of the series, the Dodgers and D-backs both each had 7 hits in that first game of the series. In the second game of that series, 2-1. Again, obviously 2-1, so I'm not expecting much here. 10 innings, 7 hits for the D-backs, 6 for the Dodgers in that one. And then the third game of the series, 4-2 loss for the Dodgers at Arizona. And in that game, they had 6 hits and the D-backs had 6 hits. So for the most part, they both had 6 or 7 hits each game.
Yeah, just not a good showing. It can happen. Now, the trick is those teams that just sort of come out of it. But when you have multiple players doing the same thing, typically is not good in baseball, because when you're rolling hot, all of you, you'll all shut down at the same time then too, because you can't keep that up if you're all rolling hot. Consistency is the thing, and this that has been the problem with this offense all season long. They're going to have to put together what we call the offensive roll, where the offense is just on a roll. Man, you guys are on a roll. When the pitching gives up 6 runs, well, you score 8.
Yep.
And they just haven't seemed to have gotten on this roll quite yet. Timing could be great. I mean, to look at it optimistically, the timing on this could be just absolutely fantastic.
I got another one here. Bo in Phoenix. Do you know Bo in Phoenix? I don't know Bo in Phoenix.
I don't think I do.
Okay, Bo in Phoenix. We should remember the scheduling has been brutal for us. The only team with 2 17-game stretches, and both came just 17 days apart. That's a bigger factor for me than what Tim is saying about not scoring enough against the Twins. Bo in Phoenix.
That I would imagine that does play up. I would agree with that. That's some of it. Yes, the schedule has been some of this wear and tear. Maybe not necessarily always on, you know, these nail biting, you got a high leverage and you're going to have to go to Aspie again, or you got to go to Uribe again. Now they're down. Now you got to go with these other guys. That, you know, it's not necessarily that, but the schedule did play a part in that.
from the 414. Definitely the right move sending Lockridge. There is little to support Yelich doing more than maybe a base hit and stacking multiple hits against Miller, regardless of maybe not having control of his fastball, is still unlikely. The idea is right. The execution was poor. They have to execute that type of play to win postseason games.
It was, and you got to take, I mean, this is a team. Have you noticed, even though they're winning, that whole Brewer brand of baseball just hasn't been at peak performance?
What's changed about the Brewers brand of baseball?
I don't think they're stealing nearly as much.
That's one of them. The other thing that I think does not get talked about enough, they are not working starting pitchers as deep into counts as they were last year on a regular basis. I remember listening to road announcers last year talking about, dude, these guys just don't strike out. They foul off 100 pitches, and before you know it, our starters, you know, up to 90 pitches in the fifth inning. Yeah, we only gave up, you know, two runs, but we got to take them out now to go to the bullpen, and that's when the Brewers get to you. It doesn't seem like the Brewers are battling the same way as they did last year.
Agreed, because if you look at the first couple of innings tonight, and then you look up later on, they let that dude off the hook.
Yep.
They left Mize off the hook. Mize was only at, 70-ish in the sixth inning. And I thought he was going to be out after four, the way it started out. I mean, that's tough. Henderson had a couple of quickies, too. I mean, his first inning was, with a base hit, was seven pitches.
Another example of what you were saying about stolen bases, you just have to look at Jackson Chourio at this point. He's only got 11 stolen bases. We're in the middle of August. Jackson Chourio should have 11 stolen bases by the time you get to June 1st.
I mean,
there's no reason why that cat's not stealing five bases a month.
Now, you missed a month, but...
I'm just saying, on a normal year, five bases a month, that gets you to what, 10, 20, 30? I mean, he should be right around 25 to 30 stolen bases every year.
Yeah, he should be. And he was thrown out. He overslid the bag tonight. And then just at that point, you just take off running when you overslid it that much. All right, 414-677-1250 on the Nicolay Law Talk and Text Line. In North Carolina, that would be Eastern time, and that's where we find Tony. Tony, it's after 1 a.m. What are you doing up?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, just like following the Brewers. This is real quick, Tim. I just got to defend you. I was calling for that steal there. It's the obvious play. And how short is our memory that we don't remember the first game Brandon Lockridge came back? He came in as a pinch runner in the eighth inning, stole a base, and scored the winning run. I mean,
I don't remember that.
You can
August
8th. The Twins on the 8th. That was his first game back. Came in as a pinch runner, stole second as a pinch runner, and scored the winning run.
That's true.
How short is our memory here?
Saturday night.
Correct.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Like, I'm told in your corner, Kim, that's the obvious play there.
Hold on. Then they walked the next hitter. Tonight. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, then they, right? Was that it?
I don't remember that well, but I just looked it up, and I was like, yeah, didn't you just come back and just do exactly that? And that's, of course that's what you do there. Come on, you people. I got your back.
I'm trying to ask myself in my head.
Thanks for your call, Tony.
Yep, thank you. I'm trying to ask myself in my head, if it hadn't been Yelich at the plate, would I think a little differently on the stolen base attempt?
Yes, because you didn't trust Yelich from the time he had the bat in his hands walking up to the plate. You said it was over. He's going to hit a duffer probably back to the mound.
Miller, that was the thing. It was more him coupled with Yelich.
If that's Chourio up to bat, are you running Lockridge?
That's what I'm struggling with right now.
Hell no. There's no chance. Let the dude swing. Like, I don't.
I probably. No way. It was more on. It was more on Miller and Yelich, that combo, that just gave me the clear, go ahead and try it. Because the most Christian's going to do here is a base hit.
Yep.
And that literally had to be what Murph was, I don't know. Hey, I mean, you always want the best. if he's safe, he can still hit the two-run homer, just saying. But at least he has a chance, and I get that other side argument. But I don't know if I'm stealing if Jackson's up. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Hear from Pat Murphy a little bit and talk more after the Brewers. Yeah, they dropped this one 3-2, a tight ball game. It did have that playoff feel a little bit. I don't think it was over-the-top playoff feel, at least not for me. But they fall. Logan Henderson, outstanding. Christian Yelich, two-run homer. Lyon Richardson pitched a scoreless appearance in tonight's ball game as well. That's a good ad. We'll take that. By the way, if you missed it earlier today on the leadoff show, Sparky had it. Bryce Wilson, no longer with the organization.
Now he's in AAA Nashville.
Well, then he chose free agency. So they assigned him to AAA Nashville, and then he selected free agency.
Nice.
So
good luck to you.
I don't know if that's a big loss, but I think it's a little bit of a loss, Stevie. I do. I mean, you're going to play roulette here now with your long men? Who's after Richardson? And then you're going to end up DFA in all these guys? I mean, I thought they should have kept Bryce Wilson. I do. I thought he did a nice job. All right, we'll talk more after the break. Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios after a 3-2 loss.
The game is over, and it's time to hear from the skipper on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Yeah, he was great. He was out of gas, but we didn't really have a loaded bullpen, obviously, with our three leverage arms out. We didn't think we had coverage, good leverage coverage for three, and he still was, his pitches were under control, so he did fine. We just didn't want Merrill to beat us. He's so hot lately, and, William called for that pitch down and away, but, he missed over the plate with it, so it's unfortunate.
Offensively, Murph, what did you think after, you get the Yelich homer early, what do you think the rest of the way?
Lara had good swings all night, other guys, Bowers had a good swing, Churio was great, Trang put one good swing on it, but you can't strike out that many times, and, the starter was good, he got good, he especially got good in the middle innings. His vert went from 16 to 21, so he found himself a good fastball, and they played up. But, we got to score more than two runs on the road to win. Logan pitched well enough to win.
Safe to say your top three in the bullpen are all down?
Oh, yeah.
Even though Logan didn't get the result, what do you want him to take away from just, being able to do that and get into the seventh?
Yeah, that's it. He's been tremendous for us, and he pitched well enough to win, and he just keeps piling that up and learning from it, making pitches one by one. He was tremendous. Tremendous. Just disappointing because, you had some opportunities there and we didn't come through. But, credit the Padres. They played good defense. They played and they pitched really well. Matsui came in and pitched well, and so did Morjon, and so did Miller, obviously. Miller and Morjon are two guys got an 0.91 ERA, and you're not going to string a bunch of hits together. So
we kind of talked about Romero being a guy you like earlier today. Are you sort of counting those days down a little bit? It'd be a fourth guy with that experience.
Yeah, exactly. And fourth guy of that experience, and Senzatella's got it. Patrick's got it. So now you got six guys that you feel pretty good about, But we've depleted that pen in the last whatever number of days. Everybody, Chad Patrick, everybody, they're throwing more than they've ever thrown. Senzatella's throwing more than they've ever thrown. Patrick's throwing ever. They could have pitched one tonight, but not multiple. We just have to be mindful of that. But Henderson was very capable right then. He was throwing the ball good, gave up a ground ball single. And then Merrill's been unbelievable, his numbers. And we made it a point that Merrill wasn't going to beat us. And sometimes that you can't control exactly where the ball's going to go.
Yeah, there he is, Pat Murphy. It's funny how that lines up, where you don't want Merrill to hurt you. He's the hottest hitter on that team right now. And you were forced into the corner. According to Murph right there, that you just couldn't go to your guys. You had to let Henderson do it. I think that's, again, goes to the schedule, goes to the twin series, goes to just the fact that you're not scoring runs. Let a guy eat a little bit late in a game with a 6-1 lead. You know, one of your relievers, instead of using three, you can use one for 2 1/3. And that's where this came in, and the stars just lined up where Merrill was in that spot. And that was that. You hung a pitch, you left it up a little bit too high, and the hot hitter's going to get you. And he got him. And so now you got to turn the page. You got to flush this one and move ahead. And get the series tied. I think it's a bigger game tomorrow because it does set up the opportunity to take the series on Wednesday. That's that thing with game one, you know, game one of a series in the first inning, getting on the board, setting that tone, setting that tempo early on in a ball game in game one of a series. It helps a lot. Now, you got ahead 2-0 in game two. You felt decent about that. You knew after Henderson was putting down 3 in a row, 6 in a row, 9 in a row, 12 in a row, you're thinking, man, if the offense chips in with another run or two, this is a win. Not the case tonight. Brewers fall, and they're 74-45 now, 43 games left. You know, by the end of this road trip, you're going to be in the 30s. And you talk about people not watching scoreboards. I think you will now after this road trip.
I still, it all depends. I mean, this thing gets within 3 or so with the Cubs. I think then you really start finding the casual fans kind of scoreboard watching. Yep. But this thing stays 5, 6, 7 games. I don't think casual fans are going to care one way or the other. You mentioned earlier less stolen bases for the Brewers this year. From the 920 on the Nicolay Law Talking text line, still open for you. We're going to 1 a.m., 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. 920 says 217 stolen bases in 24, 164 stolen bases in 25, and now 117 stolen bases so far this year.
Just not seeing that steal, you're not seeing the push, you're not seeing as many bunts. I mean, you get, you know, your fair share out of David Hamilton, for sure. But you're not seeing the surprise bunt. No. Terang has tried it. I'll give him that. He's still trying to play that Brewer brand of baseball.
But even with 117 stolen bases, that's the fourth most in Major League Baseball. I mean, the Nationals lead baseball with 130, the Marlins 124, the Padres 119, and then you're at 117. The leader in the AL is Cleveland with 116 along with Tampa Bay.
But if those numbers are accurate with the totals there, I don't see why they're not. So thank you for running those numbers.
Oh, I got it. These totals that I just read for you are from the ESPN site. So those are all accurate for this year.
Okay. For this year, yes.
I went back and double-checked the other two. Those are also right.
Compared to the last few years, it just seems like it's not that high-energy, kind of up-tempo kind of play.
Last year, they were second in baseball at 164. The leader was Tampa at 194. In 2024, they were second in baseball at 217. See, the Nationals were the leader at 223. But there were just more stolen bases that year in 2024. And if you go back to 2023, now the Brewers are 11th at 129. The leader was the Reds at 190 that year.
Well, when did they, was it the beginning of last year was when they expanded the base?
I think that
bit?
Was 2 years ago.
Was it two?
I think it was 24, and that's when you saw all the stolen base numbers skyrocket.
Everyone tested it.
Correct. And then they fell back a little bit last year, and now it's really fallen back this year.
Yeah, I wonder why. Huh.
I don't know.
you know, the disengagement rules, and you know, then you had the expanded base, and you know, it. I don't know. It just, everyone was going to try it. I'm really surprised through all of that change that we don't see more back picks at first. I would do that. And again, I it's just something. It's a dying art form in baseball. What have we seen it a handful of times? Maybe six or eight times this year?
Yeah, hardly ever.
Hardly ever. I mean, Wilson Contreras, when he was catching, I mean, he would do it twice a game. I mean, you probably do it 80 or 90 times a year trying to backpick. It's a little risky, you know, given free bases like that. You certainly don't want to do that. But just my point was, it's just the style seems to be a little bit wait and see as the inning develops instead of just kind of pushing things a little bit. You know, what did Ron Renicki tell everybody? We're going to test our limits. We're going to test them. How do we know when to pull back if we're not just going full force and see where we're at here? Take it to the extreme and then pull it back a little bit. And this year, because of the lack of offense at times, you don't want to run yourself out of an inning, and you want to see if you can come up with a bigger inning. Yep. I don't know. It's just a number of factors there, but that's the one thing I've noticed with the offense. Maybe they, you know, maybe it's personnel too. Personnel's a little bit different. You don't have Sal Frelick in there.
Does that matter the way he was playing earlier? From the 414, the offense was the reason of no World Series last year and will be the reason they give this division back. Thanks to the front office for making it better. A joke from 414.
Now, it might be. We don't know, but we're going to have fun along the way finding out.
Here's another one from the 262. The Murphy line of win today is over. Now it's save our young pitchers' innings pitched. Richardson will be DFA'd tomorrow. Would have been nice to have Wilson pitch the last three innings. Patrick in Ubertus.
Good stuff, Patrick. That's second best.
Dude, how could they DFA Richardson tomorrow? There's just no way. Right? Don't you have to keep him until you... I can't imagine. No
you
way.
You can DFA him.
You can DFA him after him. That tonight?
Sure.
Oh, God. No. Well, I hope not.
I don't think they will.
No. Brian...
He didn't throw that many pitches, even.
No.
What did he pitch? An inning and two-thirds?
And if your bullpen is that torched, then why would you do that? He only threw... Well, he threw 27 pitches. Inning and two-thirds, no hits, one walk, one strikeout. His ERA now is 13.50. Okay, congratulations.
So you have some arms ready to go tomorrow, and I think he would be ready on Wednesday if need be. No, I don't think they'll drop him.
No, I don't either. Brian in Maguanago texts in, says, I keep telling y'all, keep it real. They're two hitters short in games like this at least two times a week.
But that's why you force feed in the ninth. In that situation. I don't know. Their offense will be better. I'm sticking with it. I mean, here we are, August 10th. Is that where we're at? Yeah.
Yeah, August 11th now.
Well, yeah.
We're past midnight. From the 414, measuring stick week, and they're going to come out of this week showing what they are. The fifth best team in the National League. I don't care what the record is. Hold on now. See, this is where I have the issue. It will shake out that way in the next 6 weeks. One of the most inconsistent lineups in the league from the 414.
Inconsistent lineup structure or just lineups?
He just said lineups.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that's hitting.
Fifth best team in the NL. You're going to find that over the next 6 weeks. They're going to have to really suck for a month and a half in order to drop down to the fifth best team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they're still going to win a whole mess of baseball.
Right. There's no way they're going to go into that type of funk.
74 now, 43 to play, win 22 of them, 84, 94, 96 wins, going 500. 96 wins, only 500 in the last month and a half.
They're going to top 100.
They get one. Well, to top 100, you're going to have to get one little hot streak in there.
That's it.
So you're going to have to win five in a row or so, somewhere along the line. Five or six in a row. Fully capable of doing that.
Absolutely. Brad in the 414, it's like watching an episode of Pawn Stars. I know we wanted a power hitter at the deadline, but the best we can do is a guy cut from a AAA team from one of the biggest joke franchises in all of baseball.
Bo
Naylor. I'm assuming is who he's talking about.
About who?
Bo Naylor, potentially, at the deadline. That's the only hitter they got at the deadline, so I don't know who else it could have been from at that point. Or this guy they just brought in. Yeah, or Bay. He doesn't count, though. That wasn't at the deadline. That was after the fact.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting, too. All right, if you guys want to jump in here, there'll be a couple more minutes. 414-677-1250. This portion of the program brought to you by G2 Insurance, your friend in insurance. Running a business is like a championship run. One bad hit can take you out of the game. G2 Insurance Services specializes in keeping your business and reputation protected. They offer tailored solutions for restaurants, professional liability, and workman's comp. They represent top carriers like Erie to find the best combination of coverage and price. Get the defensive line your business deserves. G2 Insurance Services in Brookfield, online at g2ins.com. G2 Insurance is your friend in insurance. A 3-2 loss, and so now on the important scale here, or the Tim Horton scale here.
Oh, that's back. Okay.
Going into tomorrow's game with Harrison, I would say that it's up there.
They win.
You.
It's okay. Walker Buehler, dude. He is. His ERA is plus five plus. I mean, he hasn't been good in like forever.
And this team is fighting for a wild card spot here.
He might have been okay last year. Let me just look and see.
This team is the Padres are fighting for a wild card spot here.
Let's see. Walker.
I mean, I don't know about the division. They're what, 7-ish games back?
They're catching the Dodgers. Walker Buehler, 5.07 ERA. His whip is 1.458. Last year in 25, between Boston and Philly, he had a 4.93 ERA and a whip of 1.516. The year before that, with the Dodgers, he had a whip of 1.553 and an ERA of 5.38. He literally had three games last year in Philly where he was good over 13 and two-thirds of an inning. Outside of that, he has sucked for quite some time. Like, you better break out some offense tomorrow in this one.
Is this the first time he has faced the Brewers since putting out that social media post?
I think so.
I forget what player, but the Brewers had been rumored to pick up a former Dodger or at the deadline make a deal or something like that, and Buehler put out some sort of social media thing saying him to the Dodgers or him to the Brewers, no chance.
Justin Turner.
Was it Justin?
I think so. Yep.
Was it Bellinger, maybe?
I think it was Justin Turner.
Okay.
I think. Let me see here. I just call it up here. It says, we understand why Dodgers ace Walker Buehler deleted his savage subtweet intended for the Brewers after Justin Turner's return became official.
So he did delete it. He did. He took it down. But I don't know if he's faced the Brewers since.
But that's been a while ago. I mean, how many of these guys are actually on this team?
That irked me at the time, though.
Well, of course.
The Giants out there in L.A. just backhand the Brewers. Like, yeah, you're crazy. You're going to get some of our guys. We'll wait and find out. But, yeah, with the loss, still 29 games over 500, still five games up now. Cubs were idle tonight. And they're going to face I just read it the other day.
What do you want to know?
The Cubs schedule.
Oh, the Cubs coming up tomorrow, get the Nationals.
Nationals, yeah. That's a big series.
I mean, the Nationals offense without James Wood, though, I believe he's on the IL. So they get in D.C. for the Nationals for 3 through Thursday. Then they come home for the Cardinals for 3. Then the inner city matchup with the White Sox for 3.
That's not necessarily a cakewalk.
Then out west right there to Seattle for 3 and Arizona for 3.
Yeah, that's not a cakewalk schedule at all. I'm not sure that they're going to get on a run looking at that.
And then after that, they're home against Cincinnati for three, and then the big four-game series at Wrigley against the Brewers.
Oh, boy. All night games.
Yes, all night games.
Including getaway day.
Then to the Marlins for three, then to the Brewers for three after that.
Those games right in there. I mean, you got a span of 10 days. 11 days they're going to play the Brewers, the Cubs are, seven times.
Yep.
In 11 days.
Correct. They have no off days during that run.
Man.
In fact, if we take this back, their last off day will be Thursday, August 27th. And then they'll play from Friday, August 28th all the way until... Yeah. So from Thursday, August 27th, they're off. And their next day off day after that will be Thursday, September 10th after that three-game set in Milwaukee.
That's a nice long run. 13, yep. 14 games straight. All right. We'll take a break and button things up. It's the Potawatomi Sportsbook Postgame Show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Final couple of minutes here, Potawatomi Sportsbook Postgame Show on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. Tim Allen, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and a Brewers 3-2 loss. You turn the page and you get to Game 2. That is later on tonight. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's late night. It doesn't matter. You guys know where we're coming from. We could do this at 3 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon. It really doesn't matter. All right, so the Brewers go back at it tonight, Game 2. Kyle Harrison. And I would say the offense is pivotal here. You have Harrison, who's done a hell of a job. And, I mean, we're thinking about how good is he? Same thing we're thinking about Logan Henderson. How good is he? That's a great situation to be in. And then you have May on Wednesday for his second start in the Brewers uniform. Then it's off to L.A. But I think tomorrow's game is pretty important, as you stated, Buehler on the mound. He's gettable. You're gonna have traffic in that game. Maybe tomorrow's a game in which, you know, you start running. You get a little more aggressive. You go hit and run. You maybe lay down a few more bunts. As I said before, Bryce Terang has been trying that. I don't know if you've noticed in the last week. Hasn't been successful, but you see him squaring quite a bit. He's ready for it. And maybe tomorrow you bust out and get that thing even. Huge, huge impactful game in the series, obviously.
I've got a post here on X from Tyler who said, are we surprised that our hitters continue to struggle when our, quote, great hitting coach is a lifetime 220 hitter?
Yeah, you don't have to be a great coach or a great hitter or a great player to be a great coach.
We've seen great players not be able to coach worth a damn.
That's right. Yeah, without a doubt. So we were pretty split on tonight's unscientific poll, and that was Brandon Lockridge. Should he have been stealing in the ninth inning? Pretty split right down the middle between all the feedback we got.
Yeah, I would say it was pretty even based on the text messages that came in.
Oh, don't you love that about baseball, debating baseball like that? We all can be right.
We all can be right, yeah.
You just don't know. You know, a lot of times, you know, an umpire will miss a call, and then you say, well, that affected the impact of the whole game because then he worked a walk, and then this other guy got a double, and then this other guy got a... You got to remember, if the guy doesn't get the walk, you throw different pitches. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, situation's just so quick changing in this beautiful game of baseball. All right, first pitch. Leadoff show starts at
7:30,
and first pitch 8:40.
Yep.
Is at 8:40. Yeah,
yep.
8:40 first pitch, and then after the game, we'll be here. Potawatomi Sportsbook post game show. We'll be right here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, talking about hopefully a Brewers win. Harrison, how about six innings of three run ball?
7-2.
Ooh, yeah. That is what the doctor ordered. All right, we'll see you tomorrow for Sparky. My name is Tim Allen. Have a great night, and remember, smile, Wisconsin. Bob Uecker is smiling back.
You forgot the other guy.